A very good morning to you, Namibia. Very good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM. And thank you for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So thank you, Tade France, for handing over the mic to this side. It is now the big mic that is behind the mic, and I am your host this morning. So my name is Mike Oshavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day and your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So a very good morning if you're just joining us. And our time is 4 minutes past the hour of 8. We come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. So we'll be with you until the hour of 11 o'clock. So we have a plenty of time to unpack a number of stories that are making headline around the region and also in and around the country as well. So good morning. And as usual, we normally start, we go back in time. We go back in time to see what happened on this day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? So today is July the 22nd. And if we turn the pages of the calendar back through the years, this day has packed quite a punch across the African continent. So it's a time for our regular segment on this day in Africa. So we will start in the north, back north of Africa. So back in 1921, on this day, Spain suffered an absolute military disaster in Morocco. It is known as the Battle of Annual. So local fighters, led by a brilliant Amaz commander named Abdel Krim, completely overwhelmed the Spanish army. Now, thousands of Spanish soldiers were killed. It goes down in history as one of the Spanish worst defeat ever, you know. But more importantly for our continent, it shows the world that African forces could defeat Europeans' colonial power. So it gave a massive spark to anti-colonial movement all across Africa. Fast forward to 1954 and July 22nd, the Geneva Conference was wrapping up. Now, the main focus of that meeting was actually to stop a war over Asia, specifically in Vietnam. But the ripple effect were felt right here in Africa. So the agreement got the whole world talking about ending colonial rule, and it gave a huge boost to independence movement in French colonies. Now, in fact, just a few months later, the fight for independence in Algeria really kicked into a higher gear. Now, let's talk about unity. By July 22nd, 1963, the newly formed Organization of African Unity, the AOU, was just a couple of months old. On this day, leaders were rolling up sleeves, you know, having meeting after meeting to figure out how the organization would actually work. Now, they were building the foundation for Africa, for African countries to work together politically. So, and that behind the scenes work they were doing in 1963, it eventually actually paved the way for the African Union we have today. But unity wasn't everywhere on this date. It wasn't everywhere on this date. Just 4 years later, in 1967, July 22nd marked a dark turning point. The Nigerian Civil War, often called the Biafran War, was violently escalating. You know, the eastern part of Nigeria had tried to break away and form its own country called Biafra. By this day, the fight was intense and brutal. That war would drag on until 1970, and tragically, a claim between 1 and 2 million lives, mostly civilians who actually starved to death. So, a very, very, very sobering chapter in our continent history. So, and finally, let's bring it closer to home. We are going to jump all the way back to 1916. On July the 22nd of that year, right here in what was then known as German Southwest Africa, a newspaper hit the street for the very, very, very first time. And it was, if you can guess, what is the oldest newspaper in Namibia? It was a German language paper called Der Kriegsbot. Der Kriegsbote, if you are a history buff or you call a media junkie, you know that paper didn't stay that name forever. It's eventually actually evolved into the one we know now, Allgemeine Zeitung, Allgemeine Zeitung, and today it holds the title of being the Namibia's oldest continuously published newspaper. So, in fact, actually, it is the only German language daily newspaper left on the entire African continent. So, yeah, it's the only one. And, well, so, there you have it. And that is on this day in Africa for the July 22nd. So, when we come back, we look at our thought for the day. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And 11 minutes past the hour of 8 is your time. And if you're joining us, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day. I'm your host, the Big Mac. So now, there is an African proverb that say, those who arrive at the spring first drink the purest water. So those who arrive at the spring first drink the purest water. So the proverb reminds us that opportunity often rewards those who are prepared and willing to act. So whether it's applying for a job, starting a business, saving money, or simply showing up on time. So being early isn't just about beating everyone else. It is about being ready when the opportunity arrives. But there's another side to this proverb. If you're always waiting for the perfect moment, someone else may already be taking that first drink. Now, success doesn't always go to the smartest or the strongest. it often goes to those who are prepared enough, you know, to take the first step. So today, ask yourself, what spring have I been standing next to without taking a drink? What opportunity have I been putting off because I'm waiting for the right time? So remember, all right, so just a distraction then. So today, ask yourself, what spring have I been standing next to without taking a drink? What opportunity have I been putting off because I'm waiting for the right time? So remember, the purest water is often reserved for those who don't wait for life to happen, but they make the move. Okay? So that's our thought for the day this morning. And I'm wishing you a really very good Wednesday, a meaningful Wednesday morning. All right. So thanks for joining us. If you are just joining us now, and this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, thanks for joining us. We love being in your company. We love definitely being in your company. We do this for fun. Eh? We do this for fun, definitely. So, all right. So what do we have? What is on the agenda? What is on the menu this morning? Our president was in South Africa for the 4th Namibia South Africa Binational Commission. You know, at that 4th Namibia South Africa Binational Commission, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah and Cyril Ramaphosa, they committed themselves to a new era. This new era is era of strict accountability and result-driven cooperation. You know? So they commit themselves to those, to the new era of really strict accountability and result-driven. Now, this is now to accelerate industrialization and improve the lives of their citizens. So that's we going to unpack that. That communique and also the speech that they made, both President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah and Cyril Ramaphosa. So we always learn, you know, it's always good to follow where the president goes, and because sometimes you learn things that the president wouldn't have said it when if they were in the country. So we're going to unpack some aspect on her speech there. All right, so, this is also a story that was spoken or covered in Kuthamosha by Tate France. The enemy, Namibia, we old habits don't change, né? You know. So Namibia is set to launch by late 2026. Now, with the government actually allocating 594 million to procure seven aircraft for the new national carrier. So, we're going to go into that. We're going to unpack that, and I'm inviting you. This is an interesting one. So, I'm inviting you to unpack that with me. And also, today is Wednesday. And we have The Villager is also, the edition today is also out. And the other headlines that's making the front page is 8 emerging Namibia entrepreneurs have been selected to receive a 200,000 grant each, you know. And this is through the Creative Future Program. You know, this is the Creative Future Program is a new initiative which is designed to bridge the gap between artistic talent and sustainable business development. So we're going to get into that as well, because we have, as you know, we get a lot, plenty of time. And of course, your participation will also be part of the show. So that's all what we have for you. That's what you can look forward for. And then when we come back, we get into our first item. on the show. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
That's the eye, that's the eye, and a very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day, right here on Eagle FM. I'm Mike, behind the mic, and your host this morning. Well, we talked about, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah and Cyril Ramaphosa are committed to a new era for strict accountability and result-driven cooperation. So get yourself a cup of tea. Still early, still cold a little bit this morning. It's not cold, but good cold. Let's start unpacking some interesting story that are making headlines this day. So President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has just come back, I think, from the fourth Namibia South Africa by National Commission. That's a mouthful. So it is a big sitting between our government and the South African government. So she sat down with President Cyril Ramaphosa. And the two of them told their officials something many of us probably have been waiting for many years to hear. They say, stop treating agreements like paperwork. Start delivering. That's the word, delivering, implementations. So that's the word that you would hear much in their speech. Start delivering. They said, stop treating agreements like it's just paperwork. No. And start delivering. Now, why this is very important? Because since 1990, Namibia and South Africa have, if you think, how many dozens of agreements we have signed, agreement on trade, agreement on energy, water, education, defense, agriculture. Stack those documents up and you have a pile taller, I can tell you, taller than Hilton Hotel in Windhoek. Is it the tallest building in Windhoek, Hilton Hotel? Looks tall. seriously, if you stack those documents up, you will have a very heavy pile. So we have been agreeing, we have been signing dozens of documents or dozens of agreements in various sectors, and now the presidents are saying, please don't treat this as a paperwork. We want you now to deliver. But if you ask the ordinary man anywhere in Namibia, a man in Katutura or a mem in Oshakati, the youth in, anywhere, in Rundu or anywhere, they would have, and you ask them, have you filled those papers, those agreements now? We have signed a dozen of them. Have you filled them? There has been a number of them we signed on trade, on energy, on water, on education. Have you felt them? Have you filled, even you, listen to me, have you felt those papers, those agreements that we have signed? Have you felt them? Have you smelled them? Have you touched them? What I'm asking is, has that make any difference in your village, in your communities? I think the honest answer is quite no. So this new language, I think this new language between this language of implementation, deadlines, accountability, I think it speaks directly to that frustration. It does speak directly to that frustration. I think the president understands that there is a frustration in our countries. You know, there are so many agreement and there are no implementation. So when this is coming from the president's, so it says something. So it says something. And this was really like warning the officials, the senior officials, that stop treating this as paperwork. We want implementation. So, and the two leaders agreed to bring in, it's interesting, they actually agreed to bring in something called digital balanced scorecard. Excuse me. So digital balance scorecard, so they agreed that, okay, we have to bring in something that now that will track everything that we do. So this is a computer system that will track every promise. All right? So it will track every promise, every project, every deadline, you know. So digital balance scorecard. Now, the interesting part is that this is not, the system is already being used. I think the system already used by SADC, the Southern African Development Community. It's already being used by SADC, so it is not a brand new experiment. So this digital balance scorecard. So, yeah, it is not a brand new experiment. It has been tested. The real question is, will our, now the whole question is, because you have to feed, I think, you have to feed real data in the system, not just some, you know, ticking boxes and, you know. So I think, you know, as I said, the real question would be our ministries. Will our ministries actually feed it with real data? Would they just tick boxes the same way, you know, they tick performance report. Yeah, just ticking. Yeah, 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 that happened. Yeah, yeah, you know. So it's a challenge. There will be a challenge in terms of we need to feed that, you know, that scorecard thing, you know, that system. You need to feed it with real data to be able to track, you know, every promises, every project and every deadline. So that you need to feed the project, the system. So now, so I think there's something very important now between these two countries. And maybe, how would I say, why? Let me ask this question. Why do you think South Africa matter to you? Why do you think South Africa really matter to you? To your daily life. Actually, South Africa actually matter to your daily life. Why? Okay. I'm going to unpack now something for those who maybe who do not follow economics closely. Okay? Because that's what we do here most of the time. South Africa is not just our neighbor. South Africa is not just our neighbor. South Africa is the giant next door. Seriously, let me be realistic here, okay? South Africa is the giant next door. So roughly two-thirds of our electricity, for example, two-thirds of our electricity still come from Eskom across the border. Two-thirds. I'm not even talking about goods. Most of the goods in our shops, the car we drive, the food on Pick and Pay, or now is Model, okay? And ShopRite, shelf, those, the food that are on their shelves, the cement that build our houses, where does it come from? It comes from South Africa ports. It comes from South Africa's road, South African roads, South African companies. Yeah? So even our banking sector, FNB, Standard Bank, Nedbank, yeah, they all had, okay, they all have their head office in Johannesburg. Or it's somewhere in South Africa. I'm not too sure. It should be in Johannesburg. That's the metropolitan, you know, city. The headquarters should be in Johannesburg. In Joburg. In Majozi. Yeah? So when these two governments sit down, what I'm driving is that when these two governments sit down, it's not a courtesy call. Eh? It's not a courtesy call. It's the most important bilateral relationship we have. It is the most important bilateral relationship we have. I think more important than China. Eh? I can guarantee you, more important than China, more important than Germany, more important than United States. This is the most important bilateral relationship we have. Because South Africa is in our blood. You know, it's in our blood. Yeah? In our economy, in our daily bread, you know, anything that, and this is important, anything that strengthens or weakens this relationship, that relationship, it weakens and strengthens you. So if something is actually weakening that relationship between South Africa and Namibia, it also weakens you. If anything that strengthens that relationship, it strengthens you. We always follow. Eh? We always follow. What happened to South Africa, it would affect us dramatically here. That's what I'm saying. This is the most important bilateral relationship we have with any country. So, now, from the commission, here is where I think get a little bit, get interesting. Because the two presidents said something that if they actually follow through, it could change the economy of this country forever. It could. Eh? So they say, I wouldn't say what I wanted to say already. So now they said, no more exporting raw materials, importing finished product. Okay? So they're saying that, no more exporting raw materials or importing finished product. So we must industrialize, okay? We must industrialize. We must add value. We must manufacture. That's the emphasis. That has been the emphasis of their speech, of what they were calling their officials to do: industrialize, add value, and manufacture. So, now. Now let me. What's happened to me? What happened to my? I can't see properly. All right, let me break this down with an example, okay? So let me break down with an example when we talk about that we must industrialize, we must add value, we must manufacture. So Namibia is one of the. We are one of the top producers of zinc, zinc, uranium, and lithium-bearing minerals in the world, all right? Now, what we do, and we say this quite often here, we dig up here, you know, we dig them up, and of this mineral, we dig them up, and we ship them out raw, okay? Now, then it comes back to us. In some cases, maybe talking about lithium, you know, it comes back to us as a car batteries or as a smartphones or as a solar panel, you know. And in terms of prices, now it's 10 times the price. So you and I understand that. The president understands that. So that's why they're saying, hey, you now. Yesterday, the, what is that, Nino was talking about, Nino Menma Valley, Angala, Mr. Kanjengo. We had an interview, and I asked him a question, you know, what would you say, what priority would you speak to MPs? And he said, no, not to the politician, to the EDs, technocrats, you know, these are the people that I need to talk to. So why, you know, because these are the ones that who get things, you know, these are the ones that who need actually to get things done. So if we need to, you know, to change things, if things then need to change, these are the people that actually need to know, to change. So now, as I said, then when we're talking about digging up stuff and just ship it out, when it comes back to us, it's more valuable, like a battery or smartphone or solar panel, and it become more expensive. Now, who makes the profit? Who makes the profit? Of course, not us. And we seem to, we only make pennies. We make pennies. And the foreign factories make the dollars and the rent, you know? So same story with our fish. Same story with our fish. We catch some of the fish. We catch some of the best fish actually in the world off our coast. Best fish. Some of the best fish in the world. And what do? We export it frozen. We export them frozen. And it comes back, you know, it comes back as a fish finger. You know that fish finger you eat in the restaurant? It comes back as a fish finger in a packet with a European label. That's who we are, people. We can't even make fish fingers. Add value to our fish to make fish finger. Yeah, definitely come back in a packet with a label, you know, the European, you know, with a European label. That's a reality. And as I said, who make profit? It's not us. It's the European. Where is the job created? It's not here. It's not in South Africa. It is somewhere overseas. And this is the president I was talking about, said, no more exporting raw material, people. Importing finished product. No more exporting raw material and importing finished product. All right? So that's what the president is saying. So, add value, industrialize, and manufacture. But, you know, so now, the president are saying, enough, all right? Build factories here. Process here. Hire Namibians here. Yeah? And that's what they mean by, you know, which this is something that we hear all the time. Beneficiation and value addition. That's what they mean. Process here. Hire people here. Yeah? So, but, you know, this is now the critical question. Now, when you think about that, we talk about manufacture here, build factories here. There are a few things that we can already quickly think about, okay? Yes, Madam President, Mr. President, you know. All right. Few things that we can already, critical question that we can already ask. Factories require a lot of electricity. Do we have electricity to run those factories? That's another question. Then we also need technical people. Do we have technical skills to run factories? Then it requires a lot of water. Do we have the water? Factory, it powers, it skills, it water. And if those fundamentals are not sorted, So, first of all, and something that we actually talked about with Kanjengo, if those fundamentals are not sorted, the factories will remain a dream on a PowerPoint. They will remain a dream on a PowerPoint slide. And I have seen many PowerPoint dreams in Namibia. And I'm tired of them. I'm honestly tired of the PowerPoint. Yeah? I'm tired of the PowerPoint. You probably have seen a lot of PowerPoint dreams. Almost every week you have a launch of something, a meeting of something. You know, if you can put them in the book, maybe something that one can do actually. Yeah? It's a good idea. When all this launch there's so many, meeting with making. Oh, I don't know what to say. So you hear all this meeting. So we would like to see, you know, what we want to see more is actually, you know, presidents or ministers opening up things. That's what we want to see. We want to see more. Oh, a president is actually opening up a factory somewhere in Kangwati, you know. A processing plant somewhere in Rundu or something, you know. So that's what we want to see more. But otherwise, the more we see more conferences, we see more, you know, forum, we see more commission, we see more, you know, meetings and PowerPoints, you know, slides. So I think we need to see more. Okay? There's also the two leaders also mentioned accelerating the Kudu Gas Power Project. Oh, I looked up this thing. For those who do not know, you know, I looked up actually, you know, this Kudu Gas thing. You know, I said, why it has taken so long, you know? And Kudu, for those who don't know, Kudu Gas is it's a field off the southern coast of Namibia near Oranjemund. And here's the scandal of it, okay? Here's the scandal of it. You know, as I said, I looked it up. We have known about this gas since 1970s. Can you imagine? Yes, the 1970s, we have known this gas. 50 years. And every government has talked about it. None has built it. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's why I said, I have seen many PowerPoint dreams. Many governments, administration have talked about this. And none has built it. You know? So that's what we're talking about. So that's what we talk. Kudu could give us around, if it would have been actually done, built, it could give us around 442 megawatts of electricity. 442 megawatts of electricity. And that is enough actually to cut our dependence on South Africa dramatically. Okay? That's more, you know. So it would cut our dependence on South Africa. And that's enough to power mines, to power factories now that we're talking about. You remember I asked, where would electricity come from? It would be enough to power mines, factories, smelters, the kind of heavy industry that creates real jobs, not cleaning jobs, not security jobs, real jobs. So when the communique say accelerate, I want to know, accelerate from what to what? Accelerate from what to what? Who is the contractor? When does the construction start? Where is the financing is coming from? Now, this is very important because if we leave it vague, and we have done that many times, eh? Because if we leave it vague, just like that, accelerate from, if you just the communicator, just accelerate, you know, this project. Okay? Who is the contractor? When is construction starting? You know? As I said, if we leave it vague, mark my words, I'm quite old enough, you know. We'll be back here in 5 years. We'll be back here in 5 years talking about the same kudu gas as we have been doing that for many, many years. Same promises, same PowerPoint. Eh? Same promises, same PowerPoint. And we have been doing this for years. The kudu gas. We, you know, people who have been talking kudu gas now when we are born, as I said, it's about 50 years. We have known this gas for many years. Eh? I really wanted to see what is the problem with kudu gas. And you realize, gosh, you know, it has been a long time we have been talking about this. And nothing has been done. So, yeah, and the new babies, and the president also mentioned our recent oil and gas discoveries. And let us be clear. Like Shell, Total Energies, Galp, big international companies have found significant oil in the, let's talk about Orange Basin, okay, off our coast since 2022. So the Venus, we have the Venus well, the Gulf well, the Lesedi well from South African side. Yeah, this could be game changer. This could be a game changer. But oil, of course we know, from countries like Nigeria, Angola, Equatorial Guinea, they could also be a curse. They could also be a curse, as we know in many other African countries, or not only African countries, in other countries as well that have oil. So, yeah, they will all, you know, tell you the stories. So now the question really here, the question for Namibia is not just how much oil do we have. I think we started to see now, you know, that, I mean, what we hear when you're talking a barrel that we can, what we can produce in a day, per day, you know, it's massive. But that's not the question, I think, now. The real question is, how do we manage it? Because looking at other African countries or looking at other countries that, you know, have oil, not all of them, you know, that's where the cash coming in. So, how do we manage it? So, do we have a sovereign wealth fund like in Norway? Like Norway have, you know? Do we have it ready? Yeah. Have we got it ready? So, do we have local content? We talked about it yesterday as well. Do we have a local content laws that forces company to hire Namibians? Yeah. Remember, we haven't passed any law. We haven't passed any law so far. Do we have the local content law that forces companies to hire Namibians, transfer skills to Namibians, train Namibians, buy from Namibian suppliers? Do we have the law? Oh, our two presidents are just, okay, hurry up. But you don't have the law that guides us. Where is the law? So, or are we going to just, or are we just going to watch the oil leave our shores in foreign ship and with royalties, well, disappearing into black hole? So, now, and then, there's also a green hydrogen. Namibia has been positioning itself as a global hub for the green hydrogen, basically using our sun, using our sun and our wind to produce clean fuel for Europe. That's basically it. Now, the Hyphen project in the Karas region is worth billions of dollars. Okay, worth billions of dollars. So South Africa investor wanting. There are some companies, there are some investors who actually want in this project. And that is good. I think that's good. But again, the question is, what is in it for the ordinary Namibians? Eh? What is in it for us? What is in it? Land, jobs, skills transfer. Those are things that we hear all the time. Or equity share. Equity share. Or are we just renting our, you know, we could be just renting our sun and our wind. You know that we can, in actually fact, that could be the case. We're just renting our sun and our wind. Eh? To produce clean fuel for Europe. Eh? And we're renting our sun and our wind. Of course, we don't have a sun, but the sun that we have give us this potential, this opportunity. All right? No, think about it. Think about it. And imagine, youth unemployment in this country is sitting about 40% officially. Eh? The real number, when you count those who haven't, you know, who have given up looking, it's much, 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 much higher. So every policy, every agreement, every commission, like the one in South Africa, must be judged by one number and one number only. Every of those one, every policy, every engagement, every agreement, every commission must be judged by one number and one number only. How many of our young people get a dignified job at the end of it? Simply as that. How many of our young people get a dignified job at the end of it? But that was not all. That was not all, because there was an elephant. You know, there is an elephant in the room. Now, my friend, what is the elephant in the room? Orange River boundary dispute. The Orange River boundary dispute. All right? Orange River boundary dispute. Now, the Orange River forms the border. Now, okay, this is very important. And I don't know why it drags on, you know. The Orange River forms the border between Namibia and South Africa. But where exactly is the line? That's the issue. That's the dispute. Eh? The dispute is about the borderline. Where is exactly that line? On the northern bank? On the southern bank? Down the middle? At the higher water mark or at the lower water mark? So those are the contentions. Yeah? Now, this dispute has been smearing since 1990. You know, since independence. It matters because the reason why this is matter, and if you don't know, let me tell you, it matters because the river mouth area is rich in diamond. Is very rich in diamond. And it matters because the fishing rights, it's also matter because of the fishing right. And it matters because of the future of oil and gas block in that area as well. It matters because if you do not know where your country ends, if you don't know where your country ends, you don't know what belongs to you. we may give up some resources that belong to us, isn't it? So you don't know where you don't know what belongs to you if you do not know where your country ends. And this is very important. So the president said they will hold a dedicated meeting in the first quarter of 2027, you know, to seek a lasting solutions. You know, first quarter of 2027, that's more than 6 months away. And remember, you know, do you remember those wells that are there, you know, not wells, you know, the discoveries that are done in those areas, Orange Basins. So what I have to ask, why delay? If this is important, why do you have to delay? And it is. It is important. Why wait? Is it because the lawyers need time? Maybe it's our lawyers that, and we need a little bit of time to, you know, put things together or whatever the case may be. Is it because maybe neither side wants to compromise before elections? You know, you don't want to compromise before the elections because, you know, you won't look good. Is it because South Africa, being the bigger power, is happy to leave things vague? Because vagueness usually favors the strong. Look at other countries in the world. If certain things are not clear, it favors the strong. Because, you know, they can actually then, you know, because it's not clear, they can go away with anything. So maybe that's the case. Now, before you come through now, let me challenge your mind a bit, okay? I want you to think, okay? I want you really to think. A couple of things that the president actually mentioned, okay, in this commission. One, we have heard implementation. Even our NDP, the SWAPO manifesto is an implementation manifesto. Okay, it's an implementation manifesto. We have this now. As I said, we have heard implementation before. Okay, from President Keingob, late President Keingob, from the President Pohamba, former President Pohamba, from the founding President Nyoma. You know. So the question is really, when you watch this movie over and over, you started to ask what would be different. And I want you to really think seriously. What would be different? Well, maybe it's the digital scorecard. There's now digital. There's this system, a system that, you know, track the projects and promises. Is it the digital scorecard? Is it the political will of the new Cyril Ramaphosa and Netumbo? Or is it just a new packaging for old promises? So you can package something in a new package, but it's the same old promises. You understand? So what do you think? Do you have something concrete that you can say, yes, this is different. This time is different. What is that you have? What is that concrete you have? Now, South Africa is our biggest trading partner, but they're also our biggest competitor in manufacturing. They are our biggest competitor in manufacturing. Now, if we both now try to industrialize at the same time, who wins? Now, think about that. Who will win? Who will win? Will South Africa companies come here and set up factory here, hiring Namibians, or would they just actually sell us manufactured, finished good, actually, and call it investment? Because that's basically what is happening. Will they just sell us more finished good? 10 anywhere, that's the case. And well, they call and they will call the debt. That's investment. That's investment. Yeah? And I was just talking about the dispute, Orange River dispute. Should we settle for a quiet compromise? Maybe. I'm just thinking. Or should we push hard for what is rightfully ours? Even it could, yeah, even if it strained the relationship. Because this could also strain the relationship. Yeah. So what is our, what is the sovereign worth if it costs you a friend? Yeah? Let's get to a caller. So I still have some that I want you to think about. The youth, for example. Okay. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mondia Prim.
Mondia, como está?
Bom, Ricardo. Você está falando de trabalho, né? Você está falando de trabalho?
Trabalho?
Sim, trabalho é trabalho. Você agora fica no trabalho, fica no, na sua bong, na sua bong.
I'm going to ban you now.
My friend, will come, but I need this number. The one that always greet you in Portuguese.
Yeah,
because I need to learn that language, man.
Okay. You seem to know it, actually, so...
Just a bit, you know, for us, it's the street one.
Yeah, it's the one. You're only the one how to ask food, ne?
In fact, we were having our lecture man who was teaching us Portuguese at UNAM.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, he just died in the car accident in Rundum Kavango there.
Yeah, no, I remember. I was in Angola at one point and in Rwanda itself. And we were the chefies, you know?
Yeah.
And now, I wish I spoke Portuguese, man. Now we're talking about now Das Meninas. Do you know what Das Meninas?
Das Meninas is like in German, you give me, but what is that? I don't know. What Das Meninas means or no? I don't.
If you know, you must go and make your research, I think, you know.
Das Meninas.
So, Das Meninas. We talk about Das Meninas now, you know, and I wish I could have spoken Portuguese. I had this bit at that time. There was this, you know, beautiful, gorgeous, you know, lady, and I have a Mozambican friend. You know, he was not asking things that I was asking. You know, it was difficult having now translating for you.
It's not too late, man. Big Mike, it's not too late.
Yeah? No, it's not too late. It won't be far. It won't be, you know. Yeah, so, yeah, maybe
especially
something
like when you are now talking about this, but before I forget, man, let's digest something on the number.
Yeah.
That numbers don't lie.
Numbers, they lie?
So much.
No, numbers don't lie.
The numbers, listen, when you have the number,
yeah.
Let's say, for example, now you have got, maybe you are giving bursary,
yeah.
Or scholarship, or whatever access, anything that you want to give, or maybe the development, the, you know, whatever, this kind of opportunity.
Yeah.
And maybe you go into an institution and you say, okay, so how are your representation in this particular sector?
Yeah.
Maybe look at, let's say, in the government structure, for example, or any can be private.
Yeah.
So you look at the structure, the level, all those three levels, management.
Mm.
So you discover that there are also some kind of disparity, even in terms of, like maybe from a, look at it from the gender perspective.
Yeah.
So we have visited and we have done a lot of situational analysis.
Yeah.
So to implement initiative, gender kind of initiative and development and many, many others. Even when you give some kind of workshop or capacity building to the even parliamentarians on gender.
Yeah.
also the benefit. They tell you, no, here we don't discriminate.
How does the number lie? I still wonder, you go to the point.
So the number lies because if we say how many women and men are benefiting from this thing.
Yeah.
And then they tell you now 50%. Oh, and then the other one is 50%.
Yeah.
You think that is a good representation?
No, Uncle Bwana, the person who put 50% is the one who is lying. So because he put a wrong number, I'm talking when the number is correct. So when somebody actually give a wrong number. So if I give a wrong number, well, of course the number doesn't lie. It's just that it's a wrong thing that is given. But if it's correct,
you tell me now that yes, 50%.
Yeah.
Are benefiting. Just when you look at the most of these numbers, and when you now say 50%, or the maybe you are now giving us some kind of statistic, then so what? Give me 50%, then so what? It is still going to be disaggregated, and you see now the result, the outcome of that thing.
Yeah.
So the number doesn't give you anything until you go down there and find out. Then disaggregate those data.
But how do you disaggregate them?
They apportion them to whatever you want to, the kind of benefit that you want to give. Then you now convince me that, yes, girls here are benefiting, boys here are not benefiting, women here, the type of, all this kind of information needs to come out.
Exactly.
So otherwise, you are not giving anything.
The number
so
doesn't
now give it. So the issue of the Namibia South Africa Belt kind of agreement.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I follow that.
Mm.
Was listening and things like that and all this conversation. I think for us in South Africa.
Yeah.
Because we are having most of our things in common, so we act with a common purpose.
Mm.
I think even when it comes to legal instruments, like you're talking about, I don't think we have so much problems where we can harmonize our registration and see where we are benefiting, because most of even when you look at the case study and many, many others. So, and the presidents, both of them agree that we need to take economic opportunity to the people. And we must emphasize the issue of entrepreneurship. And the list has to be well calculated.
Mm.
Well calculated. Not just to give a figure of 50% or whatever, but we want to see how is the benefit trickling down to the people, down to the masses there. So if we are here and we do not want to take risk, even in whatever we are doing, so they must be given that environment. Yesterday we were talking about environment, conducive environment, for them to prosper. And that was the word that the both presidents have shared. So the entrepreneurship and all these other things must be encouraged, but the economic opportunity must be brought to the people.
Exactly.
So because they are there. And the people have already identified their needs, their developmental needs.
Hmm.
So we need now to move. So I don't know whether is that not just a misunderstanding between or maybe they just want to get the clear boundary of that river. I don't think it's a dispute that maybe it's a dispute, but this one I think it can be well harmonized even more, better than most of our disputes that we have. Maybe look at the Labor Commission who was talking about those disputes, a lot of things. But I think for the Orange River, is that
so when you disagree where is the borderline, that's already a dispute. It's a border dispute.
Yes, it's a dispute, but it's something that maybe you just need to get the measurements. Then you know, little kids, I don't know who does the measurement or how. So obviously it's a disagreement, but it's not something that can really be threatening or whatever.
We shouldn't take it for granted. Actually, the countries went to war because of those things.
Yeah,
you know,
I understand. Yeah. I understand. With this political leadership and our common, so we can always make sure that we create some synergy in terms of our differences there. So I understand we shouldn't do that, but the agreements and all those agreements, and just like this, all those declarations that were declared during this, what is it, G20. So, Mike.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming through.
Welcome.
All right.
0833-66091. 0833-66091. Yeah. So, yeah. The other thing you have to think about in terms of this is the youth. Okay. The president spoke about youth unemployment, and we are the youth. Sometimes when you think, you also have to, where are the youth in these meetings? Are the youth in those meetings? Where are the young entrepreneurs, the one Uncle Bwana is talking about? So the young engineers, the young farmers, the young coders, are they at the table? Are they just the topic of conversation, or are they just a topic of conversation?
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. You sound very, very, very far. Are you in London?
I'm in Mars. I went there after you left.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Mike, can you hear me in a proper now?
It's just, yeah. I can hear you. Huh? But myself... Let me just quickly do. Okay. All right. Okay. Go on.
Okay. What about now? Because I put it in maximum now.
Yeah. No, I can hear you now. Okay.
You can hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's my guy. About our agreement between Namibia and South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has become also a boring song. Right? Because there are so many we sign. And if you look... the relationship between Namibia and South Africa.
Yeah.
It's one of the, I can tell you that it's one of the boyfriend who is abusing the government. Because the way I'm saying so, if you look who's benefiting more,
yeah,
it's South Africa. If you look, when it comes to even like job creation, we are demanding stuff from South Africa. And the more we demand, the more jobs are then created in South Africa.
Mm.
If this, we are sending up agreement, and maybe I thought maybe the agreement would be like this. Because as we, everything from starting from the crop we wear, you talk about food we eat, you talk about electricity we use, even water, you know, this is
many of our produce are being processed, or the value addition is done actually in South Africa.
It's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If we even have Oshitofi, if you have to go to South Africa, we can do it to a process here, but the labor has to come from South Africa, you see now. Everything has to be sent to South Africa to come back.
Okandohake Shoatereange no Kanyura Namibia, but it's written South Africa. Made in South Africa.
It's South Africa. Right? Everything is what I'm telling you. Then the thing is that if we are talking about agreement, maybe we can talk agreement like, okay, since that we have a lot of youth issue here when it comes to employment. What about you guys, since that you chase the immigrants? Can you take up our youth for job opportunity? Those agreements, it makes sense. At least we can, our people can have at least something to send home, and we can have a foreign currency. Because if you look, Even that professor, we lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I can have 10,000 a year, Namibia money. But when I go to South Africa to exchange it, to maybe like a pound somewhere, 8,000 something. Or it ends up even 7,000 something there. Our money is not, we can say it's equal, but it's not in that level playing field. When you go to South Africa, it's a different story. It's what I'm telling you, Kucha. Sometimes when we look at our leaders, signing up agreements, this and this and this, you wonder, if these people, sometimes that they do it for, because of the other political people in South Africa, or they do it for to develop their country.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they know what they are doing.
But in honest, when we're talking about beneficiation and all this value addition, when you are asking other country to consider that, what do they benefit out of it? Yeah,
exactly.
What do they benefit out of it? If a South African company would actually build a factories here, you know, while they know if I build a factory in South Africa, I will have a bigger market. For example, I have a bigger market. Then I would have more. Mm-hmm. I would employ, more people in there or whatever the case may be. So, what would someone as an investor, benefit in value addition in that country?
Namibia,
to do this yourself.
Look at Namibia. If you are telling me no, I'm having a factory in South Africa. Now you want me to bring it to Namibia. What I'm going to gain?
Yeah.
And I'm losing, really. Because remember one thing, when you talk about even electricity.
The other thing Kanjengo said yesterday, the reason why any investor is interested in any produce or any minerals is because of the need in their own country.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not because they want to establish business here. It's because of the need of where they're coming from. They are trying to address their own need, not yours. You are just a platform.
You are just, somebody to be used.
Yeah.
And when you learn out of that, especially when it comes to mining, when you learn out of it, people are packing up their machinery and everything to go somewhere else. We can define that mineral. It's what I'm telling you, Kucha. If you look, you think you want to process in Namibia. Look at the South African company now, which are sending goods with a logistic to come to Namibia. Now, okay, let me say now, I want to come and set up in Namibia my factory. You are talking about electricity with when Namibia, you are buying $100, you are getting 40 something units.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just doing a comparison that, if I'm an investor now in South Africa, where I get cheap electricity, cheap water, sometimes even the land is not that expensive. Because remember one thing, Namibia is when comparison to what? Dubai. Namibia is a Dubai of Africa.
Mm.
Namibia is a Dubai of Africa. But look now, when you are talking about that, that's why we have people coming to open a factory or whatever in Namibia, then they pay people whatever they want. Because people look at this comparison like Namibia, first of all, our tax is so high.
Yeah.
There are so many things, factors which are scaling the investor in Namibia, especially the government itself.
Yeah.
Corruption. Corruption also, because there must be somebody, a cousin of minister, who's partnering me with my resource, which I come from, wherever I come from. He's partnering with me as long as I'm using it as a shareholder there.
Yeah. Now, look, when you look
at... Nothing at all, zero. It's not even contributing like this.
When you look at the two contrasts in Namibia is that we are very good and we are on top. I think one of the best in attracting investors, but we are at the bottom in doing it. It's very difficult in doing business in Namibia.
especially for local, especially for local companies and things. Yes. So we are at the bottom in terms of doing business in Namibia. It's very difficult in Namibia compared to other countries.
Very. Yeah. And this is what always I'm saying, guys, sometimes we may look stupid when we are talking to the radio like this, but there is something which we are seeing on the ground, which is happening. And that's why we never have a billionaire in Namibia. I'm telling you, look, how long ago we get independence? You want to tell me that we have a lot of companies in Namibia who didn't want to grow around the SADC?
Yeah, it's not talking about a billionaire. Talking about a billionaire, even it's even a huge thing. You're talking about that. How many SME companies that have actually grown into now a business? You know, in Namibia, how many?
Not many.
Quite. Very few. You know, you can't even mention one. You know. Maybe the paragon of this world and whatever and
we know the history. No, we want somebody from the scratch, which we know he didn't get even a tender at all. Somebody built his empire without getting a government tender.
Yeah,
because government tender is like when you are getting that, it's to uplift you.
Yeah.
And if you can make it, like the way you are saying, Paragon, yes. But we know their history. We want somebody really to give us a open dongo. Yeah. When the government even is meeting you, you're already somewhere there. Kind of open dongo pop quiz. Just an example, maybe you can give us. The letter of Nanjebo, maybe even Wiskongama. Yeah. Then we are talking. But I'm telling you, most of the people even who are beneficial of tenders or beneficial of JPF, much of them, they are not even somewhere to be called as a business people anymore. Their business are dying out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the problem which we are having is that once you start excluding your own people, you become vulnerable. You can say in the paper, our GDP is growing. But when you look at the ground, the poor people are getting poor everything.
Yeah, that's you can see the difference. The inequalities definitely become evident.
That's why we are later in second. Yeah. In all of Africa, where we have Somalia, we have Ethiopia, we have Sudan. Come on, guys. What is wrong with this? The problem which we are talking about also when it comes to enforcement, some of the policies. We are totally left-hand.
Yeah.
We are talking about mineral now. We are talking about green hydrogen and oil. But up to now, you never see people are talking about now, guys, it's time to do this policy, to put it on the paper. Everybody's just talking about, no, we need to do. And the person who's telling you we need to do this is the person who's having a power.
Yeah.
Hey, why cannot enforce the people that, yes, A, B, C, D, coming next month, if you didn't do it, I'll do it myself. If they can overpass a lot of things which they are doing. I'm telling you, now we overpass, Namibia competition, authority. The ministry went ahead to the Chinese to image we are losing job.
Yeah.
If the factory gets closed. Why they don't do it with a police which we know is going to make a change? The problem which I think we have is that we have this Mickey Mouse in the house. Because you cannot tell me that even our president cannot stand up and say, hey guys, you are in the parliament, but you are getting money for free.
Yeah.
What do you want to tell me that the whole, from January up to now, there's no law been passed? Then we must cut off your salary.
Mm.
Because you are not serious. You all come to, every day you come to parliament, but there is nothing we can conclude to agree all of us.
Yeah.
It's very painful, my friend, when you are Namibia and then you look at these things happening.
Yeah. So I think sometimes the process, when you look at that, creating, for example, developing a law, I think to make things go better, you should involve even from the early, from the very first, from the early when you're starting, just drafting up, involve almost everybody, so that when it comes to parliament, you know, it's already, you know, if somehow everybody has got input into it and all that. Otherwise, that's why you bring it, you know, and it doesn't go anywhere, because maybe you find so many things that are missing and whatever, or not professionally addressing things that you need to address, and you know, I think it's even with the budget. It should be like, you know, let everybody vote in a drafting of that law, you know, from the very beginning, and when it comes to parliament, it has many voices already. You know, even from the opposite or the oppositions, you know? And then it goes smoother.
You know what, Mike, we are saying?
Yeah.
This is how we are supported. Because in Namibia, we do things which is ups and downs.
Yeah.
Instead of starting cramming the ladder from the low to high, you want to start in high. And it is what is happening to our law. Because remember, they make a law, they pass the law in the parliament, and after that, they come to the parliament. I mean, to the public.
Yeah.
For what? If you already decide yourself. We support to, as a nation, first go to the public consultant, then after the consultant of the public, is where you are taking to the parliament.
Yeah.
For final decision, isn't it? But they make already decision, then they come to ask the people, for what? What are our input going to change anything? If you already decide.
Yeah.
Really, I think that sometimes the way we are doing things is like, really, doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're having leaders are traveling every day to meet other people, why they don't copy and paste.
Yeah. I think the problem, problem comes when we, in honest truth, I worked in a health environment, and I was in the position where we award, you know, sub-awarding, you know, a fund to implementing companies, you know, that the NGOs that have to implement programs. But sometimes when people comes up with a project, for example, in the community, the project actually are designed to meet the criteria of the award, the money when we give you a contract, there are criteria that saying, you know, it should address this and this and this. You understand?
Yeah.
So, but sometimes the things that address it come from the interest of the one who is giving funds, not actually what is happening in the community.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in most cases, sometimes the projects are coming from what the national, you know, the national is thinking what is the need without really knowing what is the need of the people, you know?
That's why I'm saying, when you look at this European NGO come to Namibia, they already decide what they want. That's why if you are having a boy child, why are you excluding the boy child? They're only targeting female and what? And the gay people and lesbians. Yeah? What about the men?
No, exactly.
That's why you got to become a victim of the what? United Nations.
Yeah.
Because Museveni refused all this nonsense. And that's why now you see the, you are breaking Uganda and they are not coming because of Kamau, what? Ebola. And nonsense, which is, if it started from DRC, then what do you have to do with Uganda? That's what I'm saying. The more we work in silo in Africa, the more we become a victim. Because now, we look at what happened to Zimbabwe. And now everybody doesn't want to do business with Zimbabwe because of America sanction. What do you have to do with Namibia?
Yeah.
When Zimbabwe is very sanctioned, why we cannot just do it the normal way we used to do things? Now we look at the Zimbabwe as a what kind of like a what backward country. That's why I'm saying it's only good when it's not happened to you.
Yeah.
But once, that's why we even when you are calling here, there are more people saying, no, you guys are making noise. But tomorrow, you live today, you live good because you are driving a Land Cruiser latest. But once it come to you, maybe some of us, it never been happened that way. Like, but we feel for our brothers. Like the people who have been chased in Chinatown. Those are Namibians. China didn't come with a land here. Now, people are harassing those people, but those people are the ones who are paying school fees for their kids to go to school.
Yeah.
They are getting from there, but now I'm telling you, that's why I'm saying, I know what our government wants from the Namibian people. Seriously.
All right.
That's maybe they're selling to put a bread on table.
Mm.
It's not stealing. Now, because the Chinese are feeling threatened, because those men are selling dress a day, and maybe now they are not getting more people who are interested to go and buy those men dress like a Oterera. And now they are calling the police.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't think really independence is about to be this way.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, let us give other people a chance.
All right. No, thanks for coming through.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Mm. All right. Very good morning. 30 minutes, 29 minutes past the hour of 9. And the time we got it plenty. And you are most welcome to come through. So 29 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you're tuning in, this is Eagle FM. And this is Unpacking the Day. Now listen. Now, just to closing off of our first story, I was asking some few questions just before you. So what I'm trying to hear to help is that I'm not gonna tell you what you to think. I'm here to make you think actually. Now this by. National commission could be the start of something real. It could be the start of something real, or it could be another round of handshakes and communiques like others that gather dust in filing cabinet somewhere in Windhoek. So the difference will not be in Cape Town where the meeting was. The difference will not be in Cape Town. Difference will be made by you, right? By what you demand, by what you vote for, by what you tolerate, it will be made by you. Well, the line is still open. Do you believe this time, as I said earlier, would you believe that this time will be different? And what is that? What is that you see? And have we been here before? Haven't we been here before? All right? Well, this is Unpacking the Day. And we will be back after this break.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuita Moshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo Gotisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Oronjika. Seithanina, Omeaguro, Nirantitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo Ikele FM Media House. Gwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahi tatuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwe imba. Una ovi unedia peke kwa ugondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwethi. Poo, pwika ovinki nukukara norupa mondando ya peke yukuyanja oshimariva. Ovo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Ovo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Ovo peresente umirongo ivari na dano kumyeze umurongo na vivari moshimariva. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukite. Ashiesho imba ke kupe oshimariva shishihina omarithiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye buha kainina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And you are listening to Unpacking the Day. Well, now you need to grab your tea, your coffee, and your airtime as well. Grab some airtime because I don't want you to, you know, we're going to talk. We're going to talk and we need to talk frankly. And I don't want you to run out of air. Yeah, I don't want, you know, air. I don't want you to run out of air. All right? So, now, if you caught the news these days, you probably saw the headlines. You know, government, through this new company called Namib Air, wants to buy 7 aircraft. They want to buy 7 aircraft. And seven of them, and the price tag just under 700 million. I mean 600 million Namibian dollar, 594 million to be exact. Yeah. So, my dear listeners, as actually Francis said actually earlier, oh, that's not small money. That's massive money. That's hundred of million of your tax dollars, not your payee, you know, your VAT, your fuel levy, you know. So about to be trapped or strapped into a jet engine and flow into the sky, literally, okay? So this morning, we are going to unpack it, okay? Let's talk about it. Let's start with the history, okay? Because history matters. It does matter. Okay, some people don't want to go there, okay? But it does matter because this is a history, this history is painful. The reason why we go there, So, now, you remember the Air Namibia, right? Old national airline. The one that was supposed to carry our flag across the world. Well, in 2021, just 5 years ago, that airline was buried. Buried. There was a funeral we all attended to, you know. We went to the burial of Air Namibia, you know. Liquidated, finish. All right? So when the accountant now opened the books, okay, the accountant opened the book, what did they find? A horror story. They really found a horror story. The airline owed nearly $5.5 billion Namibian dollars. Well, that's what it owed, but its assets were just over $1 billion. So that means it was actually drowning in debt, 4 times deeper than what it's actually owed. So, and over the 10 years before it died, before we buried, before we went to attend the funeral, it had burned through more than $10 billion in losses. $10 billion. So, what do you think? That money, that is the money that could have built a schools. You know, it's money that could have built schools. It's money that could have fixed roads. You know, you still have potholes in your town. You know, it's money that could bought machines for our hospitals or medicines that we need more. You know, it's gone. up in smoke, literally up in smoke. And here's the part that still hurts, okay? At least for some of us. Eh? When Air Namibia closed, hundreds of workers lost their jobs. Just like that. Families were left in the dark, you know, just like that. And they also, there's another angle. The Namibian Airport Company, a company that runs our airport, you know, was left holding a bill of 714 million in unpaid landing and grounding handling fees. By the time we buried Air Namibia, so the Namibian company, the NAC, the Namibian Airport Company, you know, was left holding a bill of 714 million in unpaid landing and ground handling fees. 714 million. Money that was never paid. All right? So this money was never paid. So now, fast forward to 2026. The government say, we are doing it again. We're going to do it again. New name, new planes, new airline, Namib Air, launching later this year. Namibia Air. But before we celebrate, okay, there are a couple of things we need to do. We just need to clear out, okay? So, I mean, I give you that a little bit of a history just to understand what we went through and what is pending, okay? So before then we celebrate, let's clear out a couple of things, okay? Because nobody else is going to ask them if we don't, eh? If we don't do it here, nobody's going to ask that. Now, let's start with the planes, all right? They want 7 aircraft. 4 smaller jets called Embraer or EA. Okay, don't worry about the numbers. 145s. Each one costs around 50 million. And then 3 bigger ones. Embraer E-170s or 175s. So each one, each cost over 130 million. Now, well, I'm not here to bore you with aircraft models. Okay, forget about the models. What you need to know is this. The government is choosing to buy these planes, not lease them. And that's a massive decision. And do you remember the minister in the ministry, the minister last year, not even last year, this year, the Minister of Work and Transport told the media, and even here in the parliament this year, told the parliament that government had not yet decided whether to buy or lease. He said they would first do an economic analysis. And he said once the number were crunched, the public would be updated. Well, here we are. The Gazette is out. The application is in. And the plan say buy. Yeah? The plan now say buy. Now, so where is that economic analysis that we were told? Yeah? Where is that economic analysis? Who crunched the numbers? Yeah? And what did they see that made them say, yes, buying is better? No, we need to know that. Come on, guys. Eh? What did they see from that numbers and from that economic analysis? What did they say? This would be easier for the public to say, okay, that's good. And for us as the media, What did they see that made them say, yes, buying is better? Well, I'm not saying leasing is better, but I'm just saying, what did they see? Because buying means you own the planes. Yes. But it also means hundreds of millions leave the state coffer right now. Hundreds of millions leave the state coffer right now when we have other priorities that are pressing. Now, leasing would have meant smaller monthly payment, maybe. Okay? More flexible, less risky. I'm just thinking on top of my head without information. But government have chosen the big splash. Okay, no. We're just going to splash. Okay? And we, the public, are yet to see the homework that led to that choice. Yeah? Because that's what we were told. We are yet to see that. We follow, for some of us, you know, follow this. Yeah? So we follow this. Some of us follow this because that's what we do. Okay? So we are yet to see that homework that led to that choice. And that's not transparency. That is not transparency. That is done deal dressed in a notice, you know? It's a notice given. Eh? Now, let's look at the market, okay? Let's look at the market. The airline says it has calculated a market of 800,000. You know, round trip passengers across the domestic and regional routes. All right, Windhoek to Ondangwa, Windhoek to Luderitz, Windhoek to Wavish Bay, you know, and across the borders to Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Luanda, for example. Okay, so sounds good, it does sound good, but the question is, who did the calculation? Was it independent? Was it independent? Because the reason I'm asking that, let's be realistic here, because those routes already have competition. Eh? They already have competition. You can fly to Johannesburg today on the other airlines. Now, when you look at now 800,000 round-trip passengers, eh? So you can fly to Johannesburg today on other airline, isn't it? You can get to Cape Town. The domestic route have operators. So where is this pool of 800,000 people coming from? Yeah? So sometimes when we don't do, you know, when we don't do our research, we could be told anything and we celebrate. Okay. That's why I said, where's the economic analysis? We need to see that economic analysis. Yeah? We still have to see that homework that led to that choice. So where is this pool? This pool of 800,000 people coming from? Yeah? Are these new travelers? Maybe they are new travelers, or are we just slicing, more like we are slicing the same small pie, eh, into even smaller pieces? It's a small pie already that is there, and we now slicing it into even smaller. Eh? It's like someone coming in an area where there are a lot of bars, and you still build a bar. Eh? You're taking few of the clients maybe that know you. Eh? From the other bars. It's exactly the same. It's a bar model business. So if we're just stealing passengers from other airlines, what make us think Namibia? Eh? What make us think Namibia Air will actually survive where Namibia actually collapsed? So if we're just going to steal from other airlines, if we're just going to steal passengers from other airlines, so what makes you think that, you know, Namib Air that we're now launching will survive? Yeah? Where Air Namibia didn't. Yeah? So sometimes, you know, there are simple things that who used to say, you know, that doesn't require, you know, a complicated algebra. Yeah? It doesn't require complicated algebra. And then there's a price. Then there is a price. The notice say the airline will use what they call a dynamic pricing. Okay? What is a dynamic pricing? A dynamic pricing means that it means that the ticket price changes like the wind, literally like the wind. Yeah? That's what dynamic, you know, dynamic price mean. So if many people want to fly, yeah, if many people want to fly, the prices goes up. So if few people want to fly, maybe it comes down. It is the same way like when you are in cities like London, for example, you know, they have this Uber, or maybe you can refer to them as that, but it's Uber, you know. If it's raining, for example, they will charge you more. You know, they will charge you more just because it's raining. Yeah? So, yeah, it's more like in the same way, you know, when we talk about dynamic pricing. So, when you hear fare range will apply, what really mean is we don't know what you will pay. Eh? So we exactly don't know what you're going to pay. You might get cheaper, you know, you might get cheaper seat one day, and the next day the same seat costs double, you know. For an ordinary Namibian, now when it comes now to ordinary Namibian trying to plan, let's say for example, maybe I'm trying to plan a funeral in the north or visit a family in the south. That's not comforting because the next day the seat actually costs a double. Yeah? And that would be, it sounds like a gamble, you know? Hmm? And this is where we need to talk about who is this airline is really for? Who is it for? Hmm? I remember, you know, France was also talking about this. Is it for the businesswoman, a businessman flying to Johannesburg or on a government business? Yeah? Is it for the tourist being shattered from Walvis Bay, you know? Or is it for, maybe, let's say, is it for a teacher in Oshakati who wants to visit her children in Windhoek without paying an arm and a leg? Yeah? Is it for them? So who is the target? Because if the pricing is dynamic, as they said, and the routes are chosen to make money, I worry that ordinary Namibian is going to be priced. We are going to be priced out before the even plane, before even the first plane actually even take off. Hmm? You price out already before you take it off. Who is this? So who this airline is really for? Well, I'm just throwing questions, you know, that when you're looking at some of the things that are coming up and what people are saying. So now let us not be completely one-sided. Okay, there is another side to this story, and fairness demand, we look at it. So some people will tell you that a country needs its own airline. All right? Does it? Needs their own in its own airline. They will say it's about sovereignty, about flying the flag. I have heard that some people say, well, it's about flying the flag, about not depending on a foreign carrier to, you know, to connect us. All these reasons make, you know, make reasonable sense. So, and they will remind you that when Air Namibia died, we lost direct routes. Yeah? We lost jobs, which is true. And we lost a bit of national pride. It's all true. And they will say that aviation is not just about profit. Yeah? It's about connectivity. You know, read that somewhere as well. You know, some people debating that. Well, this is about, it's not just about profit, it's about connectivity. Yeah? Like a farmer in Lüderitz needs to get his produce to market, maybe in Europe, or, you know, a miner needs to fly in and out. Yeah? A tourist from Germany might choose Windhoek because there's a smooth connection, not because now we have to go with the Ethiopia airline and then connect to where. Now, there's just a smooth, you know, connection. They're all reasonable. They're all reasons that make sense. And yes, former Air Namibia workers, you know, people with real skills, real experience, might finally get their job back. Eh? Might finally get their job back. The minister has hinted even that. He has hinted that ex-employees could be considered if they have the right qualifications. Well, of course, they were working there. They should have right qualification. Eh? And honestly, that's not nothing, okay? That's not English. You can't say that is not nothing. Is that English? That's not nothing. All right. So, yeah, that's hundreds of households that could actually breathe again, you know, if the employees, ex-employees could be considered, you know, well, those who have the right qualifications. So, yeah, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. My problem is that, say, for example, remember the Fly Etosha? As I said, that was a private startup that tried to fill the gap after Air Namibia died, after we buried Air Namibia. So the problem that I'm talking about is that we have listened to that song before. You know, we get to the point when we kind of like read the room. We listen to that song, it becomes a broken record for us. Yeah? So the Fly Etosha, remember Fly Etosha, was a private startup. They were trying to fill the gap when we buried Namibia in Namibia, and they could not get actually operating license. Dead in the water, dead in the water. And the government tried. The government talked to Ethiopian Airlines. I mentioned Ethiopian Airlines about partnership. Okay. That also went nowhere, as far as I remember. So now, instead of partnering maybe with an experienced African carrier, eh, or supporting a local private player that are already in the game, government had decided, okay, we will do it ourselves again, all right, with your money. Eh? We will do it ourselves, again, with your mullah. And actually, that worries me. And that is worries me a bit. That worries me a bit, my dear listeners. The we will do it ourselves attitude, that kind of we will do it ourselves attitude, and that worries me, because ourselves mean the state. All right? And the state means you and me. Eh? The state means you and me. And the same state that watched Air Namibia bleed for 10 years until it owed $5 billion. The same state that is still owed $714 million by the old airline that will never paid it back. It never paid it back. We still owe $714 million. Now, that same state want to spend another 600 million to start over. Eh? They want to spend another 600. They still owe. Still owed 714 million to NAC that are not yet paid. But on top of that, the same state want to spend another 600 million and said, we need to start over. We will do it ourselves. That kind of attitude. Now, think of this really. Now, first of all, that 600 million start over. So where is the money coming from? Is it the budget? Is it budgeted? No, it hasn't been budgeted. Is it a loan? Are we borrowing from China? From the developing bank? From our government institution, pension funds? Because 594 million does not fall from the sky. Does not fall from this. It comes from somewhere. Wherever it comes from, it comes from somewhere. If it comes from the national budget, what are we not building? So if it's coming from national budget, that means there's something that we opt not to do instead. So what are we not building so that we can buy these planes? So, what are we not? Which hospitals wing? Maybe it's a hospital wing that that is not getting built. Maybe it's medicines that are not get bought. You understand? Maybe which rural? Maybe it's a rural school is not getting textbook. Or a road that is not get tired. And that's the trade-off. Nobody's actually talking about. That's a trade-off nobody's talking about. And here's another angle. The old Air Namibia, had bigger planes. You know, we're talking, they had Airbuses. You know, they have Airbuses. They had Boeings. How do you call them? It's Boeings, most. Yeah, they had Boeings. The new plane is using smaller regional jets. Smaller. Now, smaller jet burn less fuel and cost less to run, of course. That is true, all right? But they also carry fewer passengers. That means the margin for error is really, 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 really thin. It's really thin. If a flight to Johannesburg is half empty, the airline loses money. So if fuel prices goes up, and they always go up, the cost would definitely increase. If Namibian dollar weakens against the US dollar, for example, and we know it does, the loan repayment, the loan, of course, or where are we going to get the money? So the loan repayment or purchase costs actually get heavier. So this is how I act with no safety net at all. So what should we do? What should the public do? What should you do? What should the public demand? What should we demand, people? Now, one thing that we need to know, that we need to get, is show us the analysis. The minister promised economic metrics. Where is the document? Let us see the assumption. So we want to see the assumptions. Let us see who did the study. Was it independent? Or was it done by someone who stands to benefit? As we're talking 800,000, you know, where do they suck up that? Give us the analysis. That's the only way you can be transparent. Give us the analysis. So what should we do? What should we demand? Okay, tell us the ownership structure. Remember the Air Namibia? Is this a private company, a parastatal? Who sit on the board? Who will sign the check? People don't sign check anymore. Yeah, but you understand what I'm trying to say. Because if this fails again, who takes the fall? Okay. Who is going to take the fall? Yeah. Or will it be another case of privatized profit and socialized losses? Yeah. You remember in Namibia? And where a few people eat well while the taxpayers cleans the mess. Clean the mess. Yeah. It's always the taxpayers. So, and we're talking about 714 million debt on the airport company. So, what about it? Before we start a new airline, has the old debt been settled? The 714? Have the workers who were left in the cold been compensated? There were people who were, you know, were left in the cold. Have they been compensated? Or are we just walking away from one fire to light another? So is that what we're doing? And this might be the most important things. Now, let's figure this out, okay? What does success look like when it comes to Namibia now? What does success look like? Now, if 3 years Namibia is losing money again, let's say, for example, it's losing money again, will government now shut it down quickly or will it keep pumping in cash like it used to do with Air Namibia? Yeah? Year after year. Because nobody wants to admit a mistake. And we need an exit strategy before the first plane lands. Not after we have thrown another $1 billion down the drain. Yeah? A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, that's Mike.
Yes.
Sorry to come back for Air Namibia.
Yeah, this is a different.
Namibia A.
Namibia A. Namibia A.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, if it's going to be managed well, there's a way to go. Because I'm looking even at the air tickets.
Yeah.
The flight ticket is so cheap. I think some of us, we might end up even flying for the first time.
Now, would that make money? Would that really make money? Would that make profit? Given that this is a small plane.
Yeah, the more people we have flying of Namibia, the more profit I think to be make. It depends on the route, how many routes are going to take place in Nyondangwa, between Nyondangwa and Windhoek, or all over the country.
So we need those forecasts, we need those economic analysis. You know, we can't just do it on guesses. Yeah? So where are those economic analysis that will help us to understand, okay, that this is something that's gonna be really different, that's gonna be viable. Yeah? So, and I was talking even about the structure, governance structure, you know? So ownership structure, for example, would this be private company, would be a parastatal, would be completely owned by the government, you know, who will be on board, and all those kind of things. Yeah,
because, Mike, you know what, for me, I think it's a good thing that they are coming to introduce, and now they are coming with even their own plane. I think it's going to make sense. Because remember one thing, even the Fly Namibia, whatever we have today, it's lower easy ticket. Because I remember last time we pay for our elderly person 4,000. Just imagine, it's that's a return ticket. And now today they are talking about 1.7 or 1.5 somewhere there, to Ondangwa.
So that means the lower. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that it will be cheaper for me to go by plane than actually drive my own car? Is that realistic?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, just imagine if you're having your own car, especially if you're having a buggy, you are spending almost 3,000. I mean, 2 point something. Yeah. That will go to the north. But now, if you are looking at even our own car, small car, because last time I travel, I think I spent 1.4 there.
No, I'm just trying to think where actually where I'm thinking that going using a plane in Namibia gonna be cheaper than actually driving your car.
Very much. And I think we are moving to since that we are developing country. I mean, we say we are developed country now because remember we then compared to to Dubai. Let us do things like the Dubai way they do. Because for me, it's very cheap for me to fly now instead of driving a car. And it's time consuming also. You know, it makes sense. If they are going this way, I think they are able to stand the company. Because the more people are flying, my friend, the more route we have. Like maybe one plane you can fly 5 times or 6 times to go to Ondangwa. The more money. Because remember last time when you're having in Namibia,
yeah,
it was so difficult because only few people can afford. And the star sign terms, just imagine a plane flying, basically flying with 5 people.
More money, but more petrol consumption, more fuel consumptions.
No, don't worry about petrol. We have our own petrol now.
So the fuel is coming.
Yeah, the boy is coming, my friend. That one I already taken care. What Vivo Energy or whatever we have, NASA is taking care of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they are laughing, but I think as long as they're having a good strategy, if they can just use what this will. It's Ethiopia.
You know, that's the question now. When you said, as long as they have a good strategy, shouldn't we know what is the strategy already? You know, we are all supposing to say, well, yeah, it will be much cheaper if this what happened, if this or what. So shouldn't we have laid out already to say, yeah, this is how things, and you're thinking we are assuming. And because we haven't got the clear picture of how this is going to work. And that's what we want to see.
That is the thing now. And I think it will be better.
Yeah.
Because, and I think maybe they make it their own analysis. Especially, I think they are talking about the Ethiopia Airlines. And remember, the Ethiopia Airlines is the one of the best in Africa.
Don't assume.
It's following to Kenya. No, they did. They did. They went. I think they get some advice there. And maybe if they can even bring those two, one of the critical people who are working in the Ethiopian Airlines, then they can just come and help us. For even 6 months contract, it would be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if we start doing our own thing, my friend, to work only like 2 months, then later on we're having problem again.
Yeah, but sometimes that's the mistake we do. We discuss things on assumptions.
And, yeah, exactly.
And things are totally different in reality. And it's only after 5 years or something, 4 or 3 years later that we realize, it's not what we thought would be.
Two more costs.
You know? And you realize you can't even afford a plane, you know. You think, okay, what we see here, it's going to be cheaper. But then when you look at some other realistic thing and said, okay, you know, how much you maintain your plane when you're charging this much? Yeah?
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
And
how do you maintain your and then, you know, then you, how do you run a business in this way? Yes, I would agree. I would be happy as a passenger to pay that less But I'm also, as a, when you analyze this, you're also concerned, how do you maintain business when you run it, when if you run it that way, you know?
Yeah,
imagine people are charging the rest of people, you're having a taxi, people should be charging about $15, and you are charging about $10.
$10, yeah.
How would you survive?
You have a maintenance of the car, you have a fuel to fill up, you see all those, But for me also, I think we need some company to come on board also, especially like I'm looking at the area for logistics. We have like Nampos Korea.
Yeah.
Why are they also not engaging with Namibia to put there some of the cargo there? Because now we are talking about order of me. And the order of me, if Namkuri is there, it will be easier for you. Because remember, we are using other people playing like the Ethiopian Airlines, where even some of us, we end up losing money because you never know if your cousin is telling the truth.
Yeah.
That things are lost somewhere in Mombasa Airport. it's true. You never know if it's true or just a person trying because you deposit. Eating up this deposit.
Why can't we use even one or two plane as a courier plane, you know?
It's what I'm saying. Because now they are just talking about passenger.
It becomes quicker than waiting a courier that actually take 24 hours. It becomes quicker.
It's what I'm looking at that area.
That's
what I'm saying. Every time they need some research, please don't just because people are drinking or tumble, then you just pass by. Sometimes you just go there and say, guys, okay, running up and pay for him.
That's even now when we're talking about people who have money. That's a market.
It's a market
where you can just have a plane that's actually a courier plane.
Exactly. Or business idea to anja pongao. Asho maiga.
Firu ni ya mene. Apo asho na idira pe ifancha. Ay. Shai karande po karande. Ndina po iko oka shike. Oka dira kange. Nge keri oka kuri ya ike.
Eh? Ure gano.
Seriously.
I'm telling you.
A business at people pia nare mwame ponga menu wame ya ya ya.
Reanga. Okay, chef. Let me give other people a chance.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091. All right.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konora heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Our time is 70 minutes past the hour of 10. We are in our final hour, of unpacking the day. So, yeah, we were talking about Namib Air. And I think one thing we should do is we don't want to keep pumping money into this like previously, like what we did for Namibia. So I think we need an exit strategy, before the first plane lands. Before it lands, we have an exit strategy, not after we have thrown another $1 billion in the drain. Because we, like what we have been keeping and what we have been doing actually with some parastatals in this country. So, yeah, we need to do that. We absolutely need to do that. And, yeah, and look, I'm not against ambition. You know, I'm not against the dream of seeing our flag on a tail fin at old, you know, like the Oliver Tambo Airport International. It's always feel good to see, oi, you know, our plane when you are in those airport, you know, and you see your flag on the how do you call it, tail fin of the plane, you know, you feel you have that pride, But I'm against repeating the same mistakes. Okay? The same mistake and expecting a different ending. Okay? That's what I'm against. The definition of madness, they say, is doing the same thing and expecting a different ending or a different result. So this morning, as you sit in your office or home or maybe you are in your shack, we were talking about shack yesterday. So maybe when you're shack in Havana or your farmhouse in the south, and I want you to think about this. I really want you to think about this, you know. That 600 million is not some kind of an abstract, okay? It's not something that is far away from you. It is your potential clinic. That 600 million, it's your potential clinic, your potential jobs, your potential textbook for your schools, and it's about gambled, you never know, on seven aircraft because someone in an office decided we needed to fly our own planes again. So maybe they are right. That could be all. So they could be they are right. Maybe the Mandume also saw. Maybe this time it will work. Okay, maybe a smaller planes, a smarter route, and dynamic pricing will save the day. But maybe, as I said, I on an assumptions, you know, maybe, just maybe, we are watching history repeating itself. And the only thing dynamic about it will be the speed at which our money disappear. So the line is still open. Let's talk. Do you trust this plan? Do you trust the plan? You know, should we give Namib Air a chance? All right? Should we give it a chance? Or should we ground this idea before even take off? What do you think? 08333 66091, 08333 66 0833 66091. So let's talk. Let's have a conversation. This is a national issue. All right.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, kodora heta tuimwe. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
That's right. That's right. This is your eye. 23 minutes past the hour of 10. And welcome back. And this is your final hour. Now, if you're just joining us, let's take a look at the industrial brief from today's edition of The Villager. Now, we have got a busy slate from the livestock caution, from the livestock auctions to the city streets, and even deep into the Kavango Basin. So let's get into it. Now, first up is the agricultural sector. And our Namibian farmers are having a bumper June. So if you are a cattle farmer, you would love this number. You would like these numbers, you know. So we saw a massive surge in a total cattle marketing last month, up a very healthy 21.5% compared to May. You know, but the real story here is the live export. So now those numbers skyrocketed by over 42% month on month. So now we all know. So now these are live, the live export. And where are these? Where all this cattle going? Ooh, well, overwhelmingly, they are heading to south. They are actually heading south. And you probably have an idea where they are heading. Out of all the live cattle exported in June, 90%, nearly 6,814 head of winners, you know, were loaded up and sent straight to South Africa, South African feedlots, you know. So nearly 800, you know, and 14. Yeah, so, and that's actually 90%. So we were talking about that in terms of the relationship that we're talking about, you see, we're exporting head of winners to live export to South Africa, you know. So an SA remained the absolute dominant destination of our live export by a mile when you look at other countries as well. Now, it wasn't entirely a one-way street to south. Angola took about 8.5% of the pie, you know, and mainly for breeding. Angola is actually taken for breeding, and a small fraction, just 30 head, went all the way to Tanzania, okay, also for breeding as well. But make no mistake, June was all about feeding the South African market. All right? So, now, turning now from the dusty feedlots to our capital city, all right? If you ever driven down a street in Windhoek at night and wondered why specific streetlight has been out for weeks, now, the city council is finally doing something about it in a big way. They are doing something about it in a big way. So the city of Windhoek is launching a massive digital mapping project. Okay, have you heard that before? So they are sending crews out to physically inspect and verify every single one of the city 17,000 municipal streetlight poles. That's a massive, massive, massive project. So it's going to take about 28 months and costs roughly 12 million Namibian dollars. But think of it as a digital reset for our lights, you know, your lights in the capital. All right? So up until now, the city has relied on routine checks and us calling in and complain when the light goes out. So, but as the city grows, that old way just isn't cutting it anymore. Once this now mapping is done, the municipality will know exactly which light is connected to which circuit. Okay? So, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for you as a resident of the city? So it means faster repair. To mean faster repair when a light goes dark. So better budgeting and ultimately safe street and safer street and safer street and neighborhood across Windhoek. All right? So yeah, that's it. And finally, this morning, we turn our eyes to the north and some potential historic news out of the Kavango Basin. Now, the Recon Africa, the company that had been making headlines for years now searching for oil in the Kavango region, has just made a technical breakthrough. Now, they have successfully produced a natural gas to the surface at their Kavango Well 1X well. So, Kavango West 1X well. Now, let's be clear here. According to the Prospect magazine, this is the very first time hydrocarbons have ever been actually produced onshore in Namibia. So, during a recent test, they hit some serious pressure, 2,300 PSA, bringing gas and liquid to the surface over a 24-hour period. So now, here's the catch. Because of equipment limitation on the site, they couldn't actually measure exactly how much gas was floating out. So, however, The pressure build up between tests proves the gas is definitely down there and can be delivered. All right? So they shipped sample of sample off to the labs in the US, in the United States, and we should get the makeup of that gas, I think, in a few weeks to come. All right? So, and Recon Africa is not stopping there, though. So, they are already moving their equipment to test a shallower rock formation called the Hattenberg, you know, which their log shows has a massive, massive reservoir section. So we will know if that pans out by later August. So is this the commercial breakthrough they have been promising for years? It's a major step, though. It's a major step. But the jury is still out on the flow rate, apparently, and we will keep watching this one for you, okay? We will keep watching this one for you. So that's your industrial brief from the Villager at this final hour. All right, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So do come through and have your say or your contribution on what we have discussed so far. 08333-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe kupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onorahita tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Welcome back. Good morning and welcome back. If you're just joining us, you are locked into Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Big Mike. Now, let's talk about, you know, the Creative Future programs, you know. Now, let me tell you a story. And this is a story. This is the story that by HD Hende Walenga. That making the front page of the Villager this morning. So, I want to tell you a story. So, over 200... Oh, I'm not telling you a story anyway. It's a story that is there. So, over 200 Namibians walk into a room with nothing but a dream. 3 months later, only 8 remain standing. Only 8 men and women remain standing. And this week... those 8 walked away with a check, well, a promise of one actually. So, for $200,000 each, Now, that is a 1.6 million, you know, 1.6 million total funneled into the creative industry through something called the Creative Future programs. So, sounds like a good news, isn't it? So, but hold that thought. I want you to hold that thought. We are unpacking what this is all about. And also, for that young filmmakers also in my town, in Ongodiva, who didn't make the cut, okay? So, what's going to happen to them? All right. So, let's start. Here's what happened. Okay. Let's. If you haven't read the story yet, let me give you a little bit of a background, so that you know what we're talking about. Let me fill you in. The Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art, and Culture. Yes, the long name ministry. All right. So you understand that ministry. So now teamed up with a Basecamp Business Incubator and the National Art Council. they team up with these two group, these two institutions. So their mission is to find a creative entrepreneurs, find creative entrepreneurs who can turn passion into profit. So that's simple. Find a creative entrepreneur who can turn passion into profit. Not just art for art's sake, business, jobs, real money, all right? Now, over 200 hopefuls, now I'm calling them hopefuls, ended a three-month incubation period. They sat through a workshop on bookkeeping, cash flow, business plans, and you know, and how to pitch and pitching, you know. So they go through all that, you know. It's a 3 month incubation program. So they learn how to make their ideas desirable, you know. They make how to make their ideas desirable, feasible, and viable, because these are the three tests of every business must pass. Every business must pass. That your ideas are desirable, are they desirable, are they feasible, and are they viable? So they have gone through all that. They have gone through all that tests. And at the end, 28 made it to the final pitch now. So remember, they also learn how to do pitching, you know, how to pitch your program. So only about 28 made it to the final pitch. So a panel of judges, a government from governments, art councils, incubator, staff, and industry heads, you know, picked 8 winners. So 28 entered the final pitch, and they picked 8 winners in the end, all right? And each get a 200,000, but not a little. The other thing is also not at once. Each one got a 200,000, but not at once. In trenches. They get it in trenches, meaning you get a slice of the pie as you hit a certain milestone. So that's how it is. So unless you hit, they will not get it in full. They will not get it at once, so they get it in trenches. You get a slice of the pie as you hit a certain milestone. Now the winners. Now let's go through some of the names, maybe because it matters also, you know, for you to know who actually won a 200. Who are the winners that won 200,000? Maybe this is you, okay. Jelly, you, my Kwanyama, my guy, okay? So my Kwanyama came throughout, okay? Jerry Lusiku from Zambezi, he's running a Genuine Media Minds. Remember, this is creative industries. So he's one of the lucky ones. Not the lucky one, who actually done well to come out with something. So he's running a Genuine Media mind. Heino Hafeni with Absolute Trading. And then you have Christ Shameulu, the man behind Swakop Fashion Week. So that's the man behind the Swakop Fashion Week. And then you have Linda Tuvadimineipo. So you have Linda Tuvadimineipo, a founder of Tuva, KO, a fitness and dance studio. Okay. And then you have the Shihafela Ndivaele. This is someone behind House of Neo Rinozense. Okay. And then you have Verna Muronga of Rex Animation and Film Studio. And then you have Loide Namukwambi, the creative force at Lloyd Beat and Design. And then you have Jim Cloud Chitamunisa of Ekori Studios. Yeah, those are the 8 that were the winners of the 200,000 through this program. All right. So no, still have animation. Yeah, but you can see that there's animation, there's fashion, there's beadwork, there's film, there's dance, there's media. You know, these are the faces of Namibia's creative future, according to the judges. All right. So now, before I put on my skeptical hat, let's just give credit where it's due. All right. Let's give credit where it's due. I think for too long, Namibia creative industry has been the poor cousin of our economy, the poor cousin of the economy. You know, we love artists when they are on the stage. We clap for them. We share their memes. But when it comes to funding, there's always silence. You know, there's always that silence. So budget speeds come and go. The creative sector barely get a nod in those budgets. They barely get a nod. So 1.6 million Namibian dollar landing directly in the hands of creative, it's a shift. I think that's honestly, it's a shift. 200,000 can go a long way. You know, it's not a loose change, but for a small animation studio in Windhoek, you know, 200,000 can buy equipment, you know, softwares maybe, and maybe, just maybe, pay a salary for a year. You never know, eh? You never know, definitely. So, yeah, it make a difference. So the program also did something smart. I think they really did something smart. They did not just hand out money. It forced these entrepreneurs to learn the business side. So too many talented Namibians can sing, design, or shoot a film, but cannot read a balance sheet. They cannot read a balance sheet. So this incubator addresses that gap, and that is actually worth applauding. Eh? It's worth applauding. Eh? It's worth applauding, definitely. So, let's not ignore the other thing as well, the mentorship. So money without guidance is like a giving someone a car without, you know, with no keys. They don't go anywhere. The car might be shining and look beautiful, but if you don't have the keys, no, definitely you're not going anywhere. So this mentorship, I think it's a really good idea. So because the base camp promises continued support. They promise to continue support. And if they deliver, I think this aid have a better shot than most. You know, if you're getting those kind of coaching and getting those kind of mentoring, they get a better shot, you know, I think than any other, you know, any other business out there that, entrepreneur that are out there that are not getting this support. All right? So, yeah. As I said, I was reserving my skeptical hat. I didn't put on my hat at that time. Let me put it on now, okay? We must look under the hood now, all right? Now, 200 people applied, 8-1, and that's a 4% success rate, if you say, you know, 4% success rate, and 96% walked away with nothing but 3 months of knowledge, I think. So they must have come out 3 months of knowledge. And I imagine a fair bit of frustration, I think. You know, a fair bit of a frustration because you didn't win. All right? So here's my first question, really. What happened to the other 190, 92 or 94? How many are they? So do they get folded into another program, or do they get access to loans, or do they simply return to the same struggle? Yeah, you probably turn back to the same struggle, underfunded, unsupported and now painfully aware of how close they came. You know, you're kind of like, I was so close. So that must be painful. So a program, this competitive need, I think it needs some kind of a bridge for the run-up, isn't it? You know, otherwise we are not building an industry. It's more like you're not building industry. You're more like you are running a lottery. Yeah, it's more like you're running a lottery. You know, so now look at the winners. Okay, look at the winners again. The media minds in Zambezi, Fashion Week in Swakopmund. So I want to see the geography where these are coming from. But where are the rural-based designer, you know, from maybe like Omsati, eh? The filmmaker from Kavango East, eh? Or Kavango West, the musician from the Omaheke? Did they apply? Yeah, were they reached? Or does this money naturally pool around urban centers with better internet? These are now the people with better internet, better transport, and better connections. Yeah? So where are the rural-based, you know, competitors? So if we are serious about national development, the next round must ask who get left out. And why? Eh? Who get left out and why? So the other thing is the trenches. Eh? So the ministry is releasing this money in bits and pieces. All right? In bits and pieces.
A very good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? You have... We still have 10 minutes to go. All right, I thought it was...
No, I don't have even much to... to look at, yeah.
No, I was looking at it, I thought it was 11 o'clock, and I... maybe I was drinking. My mind is pushing to 11.
Yeah, you have something to do again after that.
Yeah.
Okay. The entrepreneurs that you are unpacking...
Yeah.
I think those the one that is not to make it, those are the one that we need.
Exactly.
Yeah, because those are the wary one. If I could get access to them, those are the one that we need. Because they are serious than the other one. The other one, we might end up finding that there is some leaking information that they got.
Mm.
Yeah, at the end of the day. Because what it makes me to call is that, where is that cowboy for the one who... Who won that one? What was that one again?
Which one is that?
The one for the ape and what was it? It was under what that one?
That was under the national fund. What is that? That the government, the development fund.
Oh, the youth, yeah.
Yeah, youth development fund. Yeah,
the development fund. Oh,
yeah.
And where are they now? They didn't come forward into motivating others. They must always.
You see, there was that promise that there would be, on a quarterly basis, we would be updated to see how they are doing and how they are progressing, because they will be mentored and all that kind of things. This institution will provide mentoring and then it's gone quiet, as usual.
It's what I'm saying, yes, because we have 750 million that is wasted by the Ministry of Trade.
Mm.
And most of those people that were getting benefits.
That's what I said. Make sure that you have enough on that. We lost him. 51 minutes past the hour of 10. And we are in the final hour to end the unpacking the day for today. All right. So I was saying, if we're really serious about national development, the next round must ask who got left out. Because when you look at, as I said, look at those geographically, you know, we have just people, most of them are just coming from towns,
you know, and you know, and so this pool of money, is it only around, you know, urban centers, you know, where there are better, you know, internet and other things as well, better transport and better connection. So we need it spread out. We need to really spread out. So the other thing I was talking about to get into is the trenches, that the ministry is releasing this money in bits and pieces. And that, I think that is a smart for accountability. It stops someone from buying a fancy car instead of a camera gear, you know. So, but trenches also means delay, especially when it's come from the government. It also means delay. It means bureaucracy. It means paperwork. You know, for a small business waiting to pay rent or maybe buy stock, delay can kill momentum. I think delay sometimes can definitely kill some momentum. And so the question is not whether the trenches are good. That's not the question. The question is, how fast are they? You know, how fast are these trenches? And who decides when the next slice drops? When do they need to pay? Is there a schedule or, you know? So it's just something to really maybe to think about in terms of that. So, and then there's a question of jobs, okay? The deputy minister made it clear this is an investment, not a donation, all right? It's an investment, not a donation. He wants this entrepreneur to hire fellow Namibians, start with the end goal of creating employment, he urged. So that's what he urged them. The end goal is actually to create a job for fellow Namibians, to hire fellow Namibians. And which I think it's how would I say it? Quite noble, and absolutely quite noble, but we can also to be realistic. Somehow, sometimes we need also to be realistic. A 200,000 grant is a seed money. Okay? It's a seed money. It's not a factory. You know? Seriously, it's a seed money. You know, for Christ, Asham Meulu, to expand Swakopmund Fashion Week and hire staff, I think he will need more than this grant. So he will definitely need more than this grant. He will need sponsors, ticket sales, corporate partnership, and consistent government support beyond once-off, you know, check. You understand? So 200,000, as I said, it's a seed money. So the pressure to create job from a modest grant is unfair a little bit, okay? From my point of view, it's unfair if the system around this entrepreneur does not actually change. Eh? So you cannot plant a seed in a dry soil and expect a forest. Seriously, eh? You can't. It's just impossible. All right? So, and our favorite, the deputy minister also spoke about packaging and marketing, all right? So, address beautifully packaged, you know, address beautifully packaged, it definitely commands a higher price. And that's what actually the deputy minister said. You know, that beautiful packaged, it would increase your price. Yeah, but I think here's what worries me a little bit. Okay, too often government advices to creatives boil down to make it look pretty and change and charge more. Okay, so that make it look pretty and then charge more, all right? So Namibian creatives do not just need to better, you know, they don't just need to better packaging. It's needed, but that's not the only thing. They need access to market. You know, those are the most important. The market, access to market. They need fair intellectual property laws. You haven't passed even laws that actually protect their designs and from being copied. They need retail space. They need retail space, e-commerce platforms, export routes. Without that ecosystem, if you don't have that ecosystem, a pretty box is just a box, man. No matter how pretty it is, it's still a box. So they need those. Retail space, e-commerce platforms, and, you know, they need that. So the Basecamp manager argued that creative often fail because they lack business. They lack business knowledge. So they cannot monetize their talent. And she framed this program as a way to refound the creative industry. So to rebuild it from the ground up. With business sense at the core. So, yeah, there's a truth in that. There's a truth in that. But here's the counter. I think business knowledge alone does not create a thriving creative sector. It doesn't. Infrastructure does. All right? Policy does. So international exposure does. So you have to look at the things that would help people, not just, who are these people? So you can teach a painter, you know, you can teach a painter to budget, but if there's no gallery, if there's no gallery willing to pay the fair prices, you know, the budget will still be empty. It will still be empty. So the deputy minister stressed that, you know, public funds are an investment and he wants return, jobs, values. Again, fair, it is fair, but let us remember, public funds invested in the creative sector are also investment in identity, okay? In identity, in a culture, in tourism, in mental health. You can also think in terms of mental health as well. So not everything can measure in a head count and profit margins. Okay? Sometimes the return on investment is a young girl in Kidmanshop, you know, seeing a Namibian film and believing her story matter too. You understand? Or a winning entrepreneur. Behind the fashion week, Express Joy. Yeah? So Express Joy, and he promised to put the funds back into the business and create jobs. That's exactly what officials want to hear. Okay? But enthusiasm also is not a business plan. So we must follow up. In 6 months, in a year, will the villager or this show be able to report that Swakopmund Fashion Week hired 5 new, you know, new staff? Or will the money have maybe just dissolved, as the caller wanted to say, have dissolved into event, you know, they just maybe just dissolve into event cost and logistic. So, yeah. That's where we are. It's now, so read the story. That's actually on top of our e-newspaper, The Villager. So the 1.6 million for 8 entrepreneurs sounds impressive, but let's scale it up. Okay, Namibia's creative industries employ 1,000 formally and informally. You know, the gap between what exists and what is needed is measured in tens of thousands, in tens of millions, not single millions, you know. So this program is a drop, a necessary drop, though, but it's still a drop. You know, what we need is a flood. So what we need is a flood. You know, we need artist education in school that, you know, that treat creativity as a career. So not a distraction. So we need tax incentives, you know, for business that sponsor local artists. And we need a national strategy that say Namibia story, design and sounds are export product. So we need that. And we will treat them as such. All right? So, yeah, and that definitely, yeah, one thing maybe we can say is that the Creative Future Program is a step, but it cannot be the only step. So, because if we cheer today and disappear tomorrow, you know, we will be back here in 3 years running another incubation, you know, selecting another eight and wondering why the industry is still notoriously, you know, underfunded and commercialized. Well, that's where we end today. So I'm going to leave you in a beautiful, beautiful hands and soft hands of Abigail. I'm handing over to Wintuk. Now we move over to Wintuk. So let me say my goodbyes, and until next time, from me, Mike, have a great one, have a good day ahead, and continue to listen to Eagle FM and the programs that are coming your way. That's a goodbye. Until then.